Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
312-981-7200. The question for your, the phone number for your questions and text messages to Terry Savage. We already have some in the queue. Let's say hello to Terry. Hi, Terry.
Well, interesting day, interesting day.
Why do you, okay. It's always an interesting day.
Is it always an interesting day in the markets?
Why is today interesting?
Well, the markets are kind of holding their breath. We've had some big up days and some big down days as we wait to see what will happen tomorrow with the CPI. And, you know, if we should get a reading for July, the street's looking for up 0.2%, making it an annual rate year over year, July of 3.3%. If it's higher, oh my goodness, what will the Fed do? Raise rates. They'll be upset about inflation. Meanwhile, on the other hand, China reports deflation. And now the president's going to talk about, guarding our security by not doing business with them in many regards. So just when you think things are quiet at the end of the summer, not yet.
Inflation was higher, though. I wonder how you would score 3% inflation.
3% is what the markets are expecting in general. So 3.3% year over year.
Yeah.
So anything over that will be disappointing to the markets. Meanwhile, I wrote a column. Let me digress for just a moment. I wrote a column because I started getting from all over, and I read a lot of stuff, emails about the government's about to confiscate your money. The government is this, they're going to do something big. They're doing something big at the end of July. Be careful, take your money out of the bank. There were so many of these that I decided to write about what was really behind that, which is a new Federal Reserve infrastructure. Let's call it a pipeline. In the industry, they call it a rail, which means that money can be moved between banks instantly. So you may have tried to make an online payment and it says the soonest this payment can be made is 3 days.
Yeah.
Or the next day for an ACH, which is the clearinghouse wire transfer, will be tomorrow because it's after 3 o'clock today.
Sure.
I will tell you an interesting story. When I was first a young reporter at Channel 2 News, maybe it was back in the Channel 5 days, they sent me out on LaSalle Street to the Federal Reserve Bank down at the foot of LaSalle Street near the Board of Trade to watch a helicopter land bringing in bags of paper checks to be processed. Because in those days, many employers drew their paychecks on a bank in Montana. And then you'd have to wait 5 days, or an out-of-state bank, it could be as long as a week, 5 business days, till your check cleared. The new FedNow wire is going to be instantaneous. I mean, you already think it's instantaneous if you use Zelle or Venmo or PayPal. It looks like it's being transferred, but those are processors, and the back end, the money going between banks, really has a delay. And if you're, let's say you're a restaurant owner, and everybody pays by credit card, you want to get your money from those credit cards, even if it's late Saturday night, so that Sunday you can go out and restock for Sunday's meals. But you really won't get that until you file those credit card receipts, even though you file them, until the bank starts processing them on Monday and makes the cash literally available in your account sometime Tuesday. That's the way it works now. But the new FedNow wire, which you won't see as an individual, but will transfer money instantaneously,
right,
as befits the way we live and work these days.
I understand, though, Terry, that not all of the banks are doing that, that's available to them, but not everybody's doing it.
Well, currently, only some and very many of the larger banks use Zelle, for example, or Venmo. But this is competition directly from the Fed for those apps. Now, those apps provide other services, verifications and so forth. But this is the backbone, and perhaps these apps will actually be using this. But this is just financial infrastructure. So my whole point in writing this was, if you get one of these emails, take your money out of the bank, they're going to take your money, they're plotting, they're going to have they're going to have a cryptocurrency. This is not a cryptocurrency. In fact, it would take an act of Congress, which never gets anything done really, to make a cryptocurrency. Just please have a little peace of mind. I in the article I wrote, I was trying to think of a simile, and I was thinking about 100 years ago, people were shocked that there was instant sound over the air from radio. And I went back and read some of the stuff. I'm an American studies major, and I remembered thinking about this once before. And there was a whole groundswell of, is this a blessing or a curse, radio? There was a whole new term, radiophobia. So it's technology. That's all that's going on at the Fed now is just instant transfer technology, which is appropriate for our digital age. Just like you're hearing this instantly, even though you're nowhere near our studios.
I know that the word digital was used in some of the legislation or conversation about this, and I think that spooked people. I think where people will notice it the most, Terry, well, maybe not the most, but where I've noticed it is sometimes I'll take a check to the bank from a third party, and they say, well, the funds, you don't have access to them right away.
Exactly. But now you will. Literally, you will. But no, you won't take a paper check. You will scan it on your phone, deposit it.
I walked up to the teller with a paper check. Oh, gee.
Nobody does that.
I love it. And I'm not the only one there. There's some other people like me, and we're not all troglodytes, whatever a troglodyte is. And so that still happens. Now, I know you should do it digitally, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, that's where I run into this phenomenon myself. And I think, now that you mention it, wait a minute. I can transfer money to my son instantly. Why can't I immediately take it from this legitimate source and have access to the cash? And it'd be nice if I could. I like what you're saying.
Those little encoding numbers on the bottom of your check, the MICR numbers, will now, because the banks participate, and it's rolling out now, so this will come out over the next few months, and more banks will participate. It behooves them to do it. They get their money faster. It's just the clearing section. Think of it as instantaneous versus that helicopter, literally. And it hovered, and it dropped these big sacks, these white kind of dirty sacks full of checks, literally to be processed. I always ask my grandmother, what was it like before airplanes? And I'm sure it sounds as ancient as that they carried paper checks around the country.
Oh, by the way, well, I got something to say. Speaking of unemployment fraud, Governor Pritzker said that somebody applied for unemployment compensation in his name in the state of Kentucky. The governor, he said, don't worry, I'm not unemployed, and no money was paid out, and I'm not in Kentucky. That's just how widespread it is. Literally, Governor Pritzker, a victim of, to the degree that he was victimized, unemployment fraud.
Governor Pritzker allowed our state to be victimized to the tune of billions of dollars of fraudulent payments. And do you remember a couple of years ago how up in arms I was about the fact that they weren't getting their act together to verify those payments. And now we've seen recently the results, literally billions of dollars.
I remember
of course, it was federal money that they gave us to do that, so probably nobody cares that much, but I care.
I just want to just pick at that for a second. I remember the frustration we all had with the Illinois Unemployment Compensation Office. They were working from home. You couldn't reach them. Checks weren't coming out. It was so frustrating. But what was the mistake the governor made with all that, Terry?
Let's not look backwards. Let's answer people's questions.
This is Pat on line one. You're on WGN. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes. I happen to have a lot of money right now, and I'm wondering where to invest in a T-bill or a CD.
How much money are we talking about?
Don't make her tell.
Hundreds of what?
Pat, how much money are we talking about?
Hundreds of thousands.
Okay, Pat. Obviously, you sold a house or something like that?
No, just good savings.
Oh, good. So where's the money sitting right at the moment? Please don't say under your mattress.
A checking account.
Fine.
Is worse?
Well,
the bank's making a lot of money on you. So we're going to turn that around. Now, are you pretty computer savvy?
You mean to see your website?
Well, come to my website, terrysavage.com, and scroll down on the right-hand side. There are about six boxes. They tell you how to do various things, make an estate plan, so forth. One says how to buy treasury bills. If you will click on that box There's even a link in there. You will learn how to open an account online with the U.S. government at treasurydirect.gov. I wish I could come to your house.
I know. Do you have somebody?
I've done this for people.
Wait, hold on. Pat, do you have somebody that could help you with this sort of thing?
Yeah, I will get somebody.
Okay, Pat, I'll tell you what. Send me an email with your phone number when you get the Don't everybody do this, but I have done this for people. When you get your nephew, your grandson, someone you trust a lot, okay, all you're going to need is your name and your Social Security number and your bank routing number. So that's really on the bottom of your check. And then send me an email, and I'll sit on the phone with you. If you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars, you don't want to make a mistake. Okay?
All right. Okay. Okay, good. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
T-bills, huh?
5.5% this week. 5.5%. I know the stock market's up, still about 18% this year.
Yep.
But there was a risk that you could lose some. I listen to people's voices, and I get to the point where I think this person would be devastated to lose 20% if the market went down. And very happy to settle for 5.5%. She's probably got enough money to live on and leave to whoever her son or grandson is helping her do this.
Sure. And I endorse whatever you endorse. I read you on that, Terry. But I did want to ask you about this. I just have a minute left here before break and then more questions. But if somebody put X dollars in the market in January or bought T-bills at 5% in January or are doing that now, they would have actually been better being in the S&P. Or the Dow.
No question about it. But in January, you know who was right with time to get him back is Dr. Bob, who was so ebullient and upbeat about the market.
Yeah.
But the point is never hindsight. It's where you are when you make a decision and you ask yourself, will I be unhappy if I only got 5% for the 6 months? Or if the market had gone the other way, what will make
sure?
Worse?
So this what price safety and security? But if you got 5% and I got 18%, you lost.
Then you buy dinner.
Ready for more questions, Ms. Savage?
Absolutely,
Terry. Here's a simple question: I have $2 million in an IRA retirement account. Is it better to put it in broker CDs or a treasury bill? Which is the safest? I'll be happy with the income for retirement.
Yeah, but you've got a problem. First, let's not talk about the asset allocation. Let's just talk about this one thing. The Treasury does not act as a custodian for IRAs. So you cannot directly buy Treasury bills through Treasury Direct in an IRA account. Now, $2 million in liquid funds in a retirement account is something you might want to give some consideration to. I'm all for having chicken money on the side, but you really should discuss with someone who is not a broker, not a commission person trying to sell you something, about whether that's the proper asset allocation. You're going to have to distribute. I don't know how old you are, but you have to be old enough to have accumulated that money inside an IRA. Maybe it was a 401k that you rolled over. If it's all liquid right now, you're going to get close to the age 73 now where you're going to have to start distributing it out. That's going to be a huge whack of ordinary income over your lifetime. And maybe you want to take a little more risk and diversify and not have it all in cash. But neither here nor there. Once you have an IRA, it should be moved to a place like Fidelity or Vanguard, where for a very low cost, you can make investment decisions. You might put some in the S&P 500 fund. But there, they will also, through the brokerage division, either buy you CDs or buy you Treasury bills. You cannot open an IRA account with Treasury Direct.
Let's pick up a phone line with Mark. You're on WGN. Mark, what can we do for you?
Hi, Terry. You and Lisa were talking about credit scores yesterday.
Yes.
My wife and I have always done everything jointly, credit card accounts, mortgages, lines of credit. So I would assume that our credit score is our credit score.
No.
If I were to pass if I were to pass away, okay.
Well,
No. And this is really important. You should each, first of all, you should each pull your own credit report. There are three bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You want to make sure, and you can get a free report from them each year. That's your right. And the only way to make sure you're doing it without getting hassled about signing up for protection services and all that is to go to annualcreditreport.com. You must each do that separately. I love that you do everything together, but you and your spouse want to make sure that all your great payments habits and your mortgage payments are being reported separately to each of your credit bureau accounts, and then each of you will have a separate credit score.
But it's quite probable that their scores are very similar since they...
Exactly. It would be surprising if they weren't, unless there's something different on one or the other credit reports between the two of you.
What's your question, Mark?
Even though we share the same credit card, we can get separate credit reports in our names.
You should, and the credit should be reported. See, there's a difference between an authorized user and a co-signer in a credit report. So you may find that your Southwest Visa card, that you can both use it, but that it's only being reported in her name or yours. And you want to make sure that all your credit reports receive separate credit information and payment history and so forth in each of your separate names.
Good question and a good answer. Speaking of credit cards, Terry, my credit rating is good, but to make it better, I need to open a second credit card. Can it be a local bank or does it have to be a national bank? Any suggestions on which card I should get?
Well, it's never been a problem for people to find a credit card. In fact, I'm surprised you aren't already receiving offers in the mail, although that may be slowing up now as banks get a little more conservative. But you should go online to bankrate.com or creditcards.com and start thinking about, okay, you want to build your credit, show that you have multiple sources that you're charging, but you're paying off on time and in full every month. Now let's think about why you would pick another card. Maybe it's got cash back. Maybe it has points and you want to fly on United or Southwest. It could be any kind of a benefit like that. So go to creditcards.com or bankrate.com and search for best credit cards in each category and see what you get. You know, some are offering a free upgrade at a hotel for a vacation or something. So when you pick your credit card, think about what they want you now, if your credit's good.
Yeah.
So think about what benefits you'd like
to
get back from
them. And that is true, right? Not only do you need to get credit cards and use them to build up your credit rating, but Terry, is it true that two cards are better than one? If you're
probably from the point of view of the bureau. Now, if you have two cards, each charged up, well, with $19,000 on it, well, with $12,000, and you're only making minimums, that's not so good.
Right. I understand that. If my mom quick claim deeds her home to me, will I have to pay capital gains taxes on the current value of the home?
Well, let me think of a dozen ways to approach this. That's not the way to deal with your mom getting you her home. No, the answer is no, you won't have to pay capital gains taxes, but that's neither here nor there. Let's say she bought it for $37,000 in 1975, and today it's worth $300,000. If she dies owning it and leaves it to you in her estate, your cost will be $300,000. That will be your new cost basis. And there won't be any taxes due. If your mom decides to sell it to anyone else or sell it to you, she will have a sales price. And if it was $300,000 as a single owner, she could subtract $250,000 worth of capital gains. I'm trying to remember what my example was, but she'd have about $15,000 or $20,000 worth of gains because her cost was 37 something, I said. So the point is, maybe she should put it into her revocable living trust, make an estate plan where there's no tax consequence, make you the successor trustee and the eventual recipient. That way you can handle things for her. And that way she will not pay, nobody will pay taxes. And when she dies, whatever the value of the house is becomes your new cost basis. So that was a more complicated answer than you wanted. And I think you ought to think twice about what your why your mom's doing this, what the plan is, and maybe have an elder law attorney advise you on a better way to organize her estate, organize her accounts, and plan for the future.
And we know a pretty good one here, Peck Ritchie, Carrie Peck, PeckRitchie.com. By the way, speaking of Social Security, if you are working past your mandatory retirement age on Social Security, do you, and so you're not going to be using any Social Security benefits. Do you need to, though, on your birthday or before your birthday, communicate somehow with the Social Security Administration? Do you have to sign up for something?
Are you talking about Medicare or Social Security?
Medicare.
Okay, well, those are two different things.
I know. Maybe I'm talking about both. If when you turn 65, do you have to do something? Or since you're still working and you're on your company insurance plan, blah, 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 you don't need to do anything.
Okay, we're talking about insurance. First of all, let me say this thing about Social Security benefits themselves. No, you don't have to sign up until you're 70. And you get a huge benefit increase. From the difference between signing up at 62 and 70 is about a 76% increase in your base check. So you want to wait. And no, for Social Security itself, you don't have to sign up until, you must sign up at 70. You should, because you don't get any increase in benefits.
Right.
At that point, you might as well start taking. Medicare is different and complicated. First of all, at age 65, you become eligible for Medicare. And Medicare Part A is free. So yeah, you might as well sign up for it. Becomes a secondary payer to your own office health insurance. Now, should you sign up for Medicare B at that point? A lot of that depends on what kind of employer insurance you have. If your employer has more than 20 employees, then probably Medicare Part B is not necessary if it's comparable to what you get from your employer. But for small businesses, Medicare Part, if you only have a work for a 3 or 4 person office, then yes, you should sign up for Medicare Part B when you become eligible. And that involves signing up also for Part D, which is the prescription drug plan. And your work, you need counseling because your work policy may serve as your supplemental plan, depending on the coverage you get at work.
When you do it at the age of 60, Terry, do you do it on your birthday, before your birthday, after
your birthday? You do it just before your birthday.
Just before.
A month before to start in the month of your birthday, they always lag a month. And we're talking about Social Security benefits as well as Medicare. But I know that I left a bunch of you going, wait, what? Well, I don't know. I might have to check with my employer about whether they're, and you're, if you have an HR department, they will tell you instantly, yeah, you could sign up for Medicare Part A. That's a good thing to do, but you don't have to sign up for Medicare Part B as long as you're working here. We're a big company, and you don't have to do that. You don't have to pay the premium even because you're paying for health insurance out of your paycheck. But if you work for a small company, you have to think about this, and you have to get some help. And that's not easy to get. There are a couple of services, 65 Incorporated. I think they charge. They're really for, well, my husband's still working, but I'm not. Should I do this? And then he should do that for Medicare. That's worth paying. I think it's $500 or $600 for advice because it could save you a fortune in premiums over your lifetime by doing the Medicare sign up correctly. But if you're just an individual and you don't know, I think what you might want to do is go to a place like ehealthinsurance.com and find out, because they have insurance advisors. They don't charge you extra, but if you need Medicare, you need a supplement, and that's why they're so good at that, because they sell the supplements.
Here's our phone number, 312-981-7200. Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, joins us on Wednesdays for conversations like this. You can call or text, and we'll tackle your questions. First, though, let's go into the WGN Radio newsroom. We've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Co-working company WeWork says it has substantial doubt about its ability to keep operating, and that news could have a serious impact on Chicago's commercial real estate market. The company has 8 active downtown Chicago locations and a large space in Chicago's Uptown neighborhood. In its latest financial report, WeWork showed ongoing losses, mostly from customers of rental space canceling their memberships. Since 2021, WeWork stock has fallen 98%, wiping out nearly $9 billion in market value. There's been a data breach at the nonprofit associated with Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, targeting several thousand patients. Hospital administrators say the third-party electronic billing service for Lurie Surgical Foundation suffered a breach back in March. A sizable amount of data was leaked, including Social Security numbers. As many as 2,000 patients are affected so far. There's no evidence that anyone accessed any health or medical records. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Steve Alexander's off today, so News Nation's Emily Finn has our Business of Food report.
Members of the House Select Committee on the CCP heard directly from three Iowa farmers who expressed their concerns with China stealing agricultural technology. They highlighted a 2012 case where a Chinese businessman was arrested after he was caught literally digging up patented seeds from the Iowa soil.
Their ultimate goal is to undermine our stability and our safety and security.
It's a question of national security. That's what brought three Congress members to Dysart, Iowa, Thursday evening.
We can't have a situation where we're constantly developing secrets and research and doing the hard work of innovating and then all of a sudden having that getting stolen from us.
We have a duty to protect all our technology, whether it's in Silicon Valley or in a cornfield here in Iowa.
Members on the House Select Committee on China spoke directly to farmers who are concerned with the Chinese Communist Party stealing key agricultural technology from American farmlands.
Not only are we blessed with amazing soils here, we have the technology and the skill set to back it up.
Their main concern is China stealing patented seeds that take years for American farmers to develop, then selling the product globally for a much cheaper price, taking that profit away from American farmers.
Every company in China is regarded as a potential next national hero for the Chinese Communist Party as a means to their end goal of overtaking the U.S. As the world's preeminent superpower.
Another major concern to come out of the roundtable was how the crackdown on national security could compromise the farmers' trade relationship with China.
Standing on the sidelines of international trade is eroding our global leadership.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, China is one of their biggest consumers of American corn and soybeans, products grown by the hands of an Iowan farmer. But the latest 2023 agricultural trade outlook says agricultural exports are expected to be down more than $5 billion, something that's making Iowan Representative Ashley Hinson double down on addressing these concerns for farmers across America.
This is all part of their bigger scheme that they've been perpetrating for decades, and it's our job to shine a light on that and then hopefully come up with solutions.
And the lawmakers tell us that they hope that this field hearing will shine a renewed light on China's threats to American agriculture.
Our Business of Food report, sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. TerrySavage.com is her website. Ruben, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hi, Terry and John. I was just curious, Terry. I know you often say, wait, wait, wait on the Social Security. I'd love to realize some of that money early, but and the reason I'm asked, I guess my question is if it's my wife and myself, would it be at all reasonable for her to take her Social Security early at 62, and then when I'm 70, if I even get there, would we then be able to take mine?
Well, that is the absolute ultimate question, and there's only one way to answer it. Yes, it may very well be that would be a good strategy, because by waiting to take yours, if you predecease her, she will get a much larger widow's benefit because you waited. But there's only one way to figure it out, and it is not by calling Social Security to ask. Larry Kotlikoff, the guru of Social Security, wrote the book, How to Get What's Yours from Social Security. And I have been working on a big project on this together. In fact, we had dinner in Chicago a couple nights ago. The secret truth is we're working on a book together about this very stuff. So I haven't said that out loud, but now that we've just sent it off to the copy editor, I'm heaving a giant sigh of relief and letting you know that sometime early this fall, there'll be a new book on this very subject. But he has created software that I wish the government would use, because the government makes such bad mistakes. So go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Pay the $39. It runs you through these alternatives. Should my wife claim on her record now? What will that impact? If at age then she claims a spousal benefit, they're not paying you both benefits, only the larger. And it shows you exactly how to triage these issues. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. This is not a commercial message. Larry says he doesn't get anything out of it. It cost him so much to pay the people to keep helping and do the work on it. So it's an effort on both our parts to give people the correct information.
That's good to know. And Ruben, I trust that helps. By the way, Terry, without commenting on his case per se, if I wait, just to restate what he stated, if I wait until I'm 70 and then I get the maximum Social Security benefit and I'm alive and I get to enjoy it, but my wife at 62 starts collecting, that does not compromise my maximum benefit at 70, right?
No, it doesn't. But as long as she's collecting on her own work record.
Right. Understood.
Okay, but she should probably, for most people, she should probably wait to full retirement age, but not all people. And that's why this software, this computerized software, is so important, because there's so many buts and what ifs and so forth. I know I can't give you the right answer, but I absolutely am 100% sure that MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com can do it for you.
This is, I think Paul is next. You're on WGN. How can we help you, Paul?
Hi, Terry. Hi, John. This is a little convoluted. I'm retired, and I'm still carrying the health insurance from my former employer. I'm paying the premiums on that, but Medicare tells me, as far as I'm reading it, that doesn't count as far as my health insurance, because I'm not actually working for that company anymore, so I have to sign up for Part B.
Right. You do. Took COBRA, obviously, but you're eligible for Medicare, and they want you to be an employee with employee coverage as an alternative to Medicare if it's a comparable coverage. So, yeah. So, first of all, yes, sign up for Medicare Part B. Are you receiving Social Security yet?
I'm not, no.
Okay. You're waiting to receive Social Security? But
yes.
But 65 and older, eligible for Medicare. Okay, so you're going to have an auto payment set up for your Medicare Part B. And at the same time, and this is so important, go online to Medicare.gov or go to eHealth Insurance, a place like that, and sign up for a supplement. You want the best, most comprehensive supplement you can buy, and you cannot be told you can't get it because you might have some pre-existing conditions if you do it within 6 months of signing up for Medicare. So you want, A, your Medigap or supplement, and also at Medicare.gov you could compare Part D drug plans. Even if you're not taking any regular medicines, you know, no statins, no heart medicine, whatever it is, you need to sign up for Part D, the drug, at the same time, because that ensures forever you'll pay a lower premium.
Time's up. All right, I hope that helps, Paul and Ruben and everybody else. Thanks for your calls. Terry, let's do more of this next Wednesday, and we'll have a book party when the book comes out.
Okay, fine. That's a big secret I just blew, but I'm real happy about it today, so we'll be talking about it more in the future.